951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Gordon DL, Cammy Bell and Hugh Keevans are here, but they want to hear from you. That's what this stage on a Saturday is all about. You've watched most of the football. You'll have good thoughts, bad thoughts, or somewhere in the middle. So get them into us on 01419511025. As always, we're here for the bigger picture stuff as well. Any of the big news stories doing the rounds, I'm thinking Scotland during the week, or indeed that Celtic AGM. Were you there? What did you make of it? Was that the right way to go about things or the wrong way? Ross Desmond's statement, loads to get through there. Celtic still looking for a manager, incidentally, as well. But loads to get through today. If you'd rather just focus on the 3 o'clock games, then let's hear from you, Motherwell fans, starting to tick along nicely. On the flip side, losing at home today against the Steelmen, Kilmarnock fans, sounds like it's a bit of a worrying time. Very keen to get your thoughts, Rangers fans, because it's 3 points on the board. Pressure then goes on Celtic tonight ahead of the trip to Paisley. But was it a good performance? Are you bothered about that? The home game against Livy, it was clearly a bit stuffy. Some of you will care and some of you won't. So it's nice to hear from both about how you thought today's game went. I've got a funny feeling David Martindale will feel his side should have got a penalty in the first half. Livy missed some chances as well, but not to be on the day. Congratulations to Falkirk. That's a wonderful 3-0 win away at Tannadice. And Hibs with a straightforward 2-0 win at home to Dundee. And it's not just the top flight. The Championship has come alive again, because second place Partick Thistle have beaten the league leaders St Johnston at Firhill.
You have to compliment Mark Wilson. We all have our fun, but he and Alec Ray have done a terrific job, and Alec Ray is always saying the praises of Mark Wilson and how hard he works at Firhill. So they're in there, they're hanging in there for automatic promotion to the Premiership, and that's a big result for them today, and I'm sure it was watched by a big crowd as well.
Yeah, and the fact is, obviously he's not working with the biggest budget in the league as well. He's went in there, there was a lot of doubters at the beginning when he got the job, but what a fantastic job he's doing so far, and I'm sure every Partick Thistle fan is delighted with it.
He took a few of the wedding envelopes, trying to get himself a new striker in the January window.
Well, hope he doesn't take mine.
Because I did notice, because you know, nowadays, the modern way, you sort of, there's like a website or a QR code, and you could choose, you could go give money for the honeymoon, give them a meal, or new set of socks for the Partick Thistle first team squad. But no, it's a great win. And Cammy, the top flight as well, littered with stories today, good and bad. Depends who you support.
Yeah, again, you've got to look at that Falkirk result away at Tannadice. A big, big result, that 3-0, a real statement as well, because again, Falkirk have been going along nicely in the league, but then you get these difficult games that you need to go and win if you want to be challenging up for a top six position, and that's where they are at the moment. I think they're sitting fifth in the league, and it's almost Dundee United are sitting seventh, so it's just give them that little bit of a gap between them. So yeah, I feel as if it was a huge result for them and a big statement that they're here to stay in this top flight.
Yeah, they're certainly doing brilliantly. There's no doubt in that. I was a bit fearful for them at the beginning of the season when I seen their transfer window. They didn't bring in a lot of players. They kept the same squad throughout the leagues from the first of our championship all the way up. And John McGlynn's been rewarded because the players have absolutely been brilliant. And that's a great result today. Great result.
I mean, of your 49 clubs, you are most associated with Kilmarnock.
Yep.
Not great times. Do you think we could, is there scope for disgruntled Killy fans on the phone?
Yeah, listen, there will be unhappy Kilmarnock fans. I think there was before the game. Five losses in a row isn't good viewing, and then that makes it six today, so it's grim times for Kilmarnock at the moment. They need to turn it around. They've got a big home game against Dundee United, who took a tough result today against Falkirk. So yeah, listen, it's becoming that time of the season that they need to turn it around, because when you look beyond Dundee United, their next fixtures are Hearts, then they play Rangers at Hearts away, Rangers at home, and then Aberdeen away. They're the tough fixtures to face, so I think they need to get a result next week.
Yeah, I think Stuart's coming under a lot of pressure. It'll be interesting. We get one or two regulars from down that way that support Kilmarnock. And at the beginning of the season, they were very positive about him. You know, they had their doubt when he was appointed, but they backed him and he got off to a good start. But things are going bad to worse now for him. And that's a poor, poor results afternoon. But listen, brilliant for Motherwell, playing some terrific football down there. Everybody highlights the pitch. Motherwell played the brilliant football. Three goals, deserved their 3 points, and up the road.
You worried for Stuart Kettlewell's Killy?
Yes, you have to be. The Dundee United they will get next weekend will be the wounded animal variety. They have taken a sore one at home today. There'll be much unhappiness during the week, and Dundee United will go to Ayrshire knowing that they have to win as well. So you'll have two teams in must-win mode, and that make for some game next weekend.
But it's not just games today and AGMs yesterday to look back on. We've got a rare Saturday night game in Paisley, Hugh.
Yeah, huge. You know, I tend to take the view that the Rangers result has certainly cranked up the pressure. The fact that Celtic are away to Hibs next weekend and Rangers are at home to Falkirk further cranks up the pressure if Celtic don't do well tonight. And when clubs like Celtic are in the midst of internal warfare, which is what's going on at Celtic Park, then it finds its way onto the park, undoubtedly. And I'd be very interested to hear Martin O'Neill's team, very interested to see how Celtic get on tonight, and then very, very interested to see where the new manager's gone.
John Paul is a Celtic fan from Greenock. He will kick us off tonight. Take it away, John Paul.
Guys, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm okay, mate. Look, I've just watched, well, I've not even watched, I've sat and watched, just seen an incident. I've listened for weeks and about the Celtic, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if you've seen it.
Right, hold on, John Paul, your line is breaking up. It's funny because I can almost fill in the gaps. I think you must be on about the, because you're referencing Rangers in the morning after the League Cup game. Are you trying to talk about the penalty Livy didn't get?
Yes, I am.
I thought you might be.
For me, it's a 100% 18 carat stonewall penalty.
Really?
Yeah.
How strong is
Why
that?
Why is it not given? Why is that not given?
Well, you'd have to ask the referee, first of all. He took the naked eye view and did not give it. And then, why was he not invited to look at a screen? So all I can say to you from my perspective, John Paul, 18 carat, 100% stonewall penalty.
The only reasons really that it wouldn't be given is that the I referenced it earlier, right? I know people have got better things to do on a Saturday night, right? About you've got Strictly, you've got all the options. If you do want to go watch the first VAR review of the season, if you're that way inclined, Rangers got a penalty against Alloa in the cup, right? Yep. And it was a kind of the Alloa defender was sort of kind of running, so his hand, you know, obviously as you run, the hand kind of comes out.
Yep.
Rangers did get the penalty that day, and Willie Collum said he could support it enough, but he would prefer them not to be given going forward. That if, you know, if that type of motion, if the hand kind of comes out in that running way, then it might. So it's not the exact same as that, but it has likenesses. So I wonder if that's in the referee's head. The only other thing that it could be, when John Paul says how is it not given, would be, you know, like proximity, the person, the attacker who hits it being particularly close. I think loads of people will disagree and think it's a penalty, but to answer the question, those will be the reasons as to why it's not given.
Yeah, I understand the reasons. Again, proximity, when you look at it, is close. But I still think his hand's far enough away, the shot's going on goal. I think there's enough evidence that penalty kick is awarded to Livingston. It'll be interesting what David Martindale's take on it, as you're pretty sure he'll have seen it back. But again,
is that the big factor, the ball's going towards goal for you?
Yeah, I think so. I think you've got to take that into consideration, Daz, that again, if it's a shot that's off target, I'm not as convinced. But because that shot's going on target, you don't know what's going to happen. So I think that's got to be taken into consideration. But again, does it surprise me? No, because I've criticised VAR this season. I think there's been a lot of poor decisions this season. So it doesn't surprise me that it wasn't given, because I think there's been so many poor decisions.
Yeah, I think if you're Livingston, you're probably looking at the situation, you're very, very disappointed. I agree with the lads. If it was me, it was refereeing, I think I would be looking towards a penalty, and for the reasons that Cammy was saying there, the ball's going towards goal, you never know what's happening. I don't like to see, you know, what we call in the game soft penalties nowadays, but I just think the rules are there, and I think Livingston are hard done by.
I mean, I've seen also, because you're looking for potential reasons, I think it slightly touches Fernandez's knee before his hand.
Does it, right?
But,
okay.
But again, having done lots of this VAR stuff with Willie Coleman, I don't. He's always quite big on, just because it hits another part of the body doesn't mean it automatically rules that out. But it could be. It could be a consideration. But anyway, John Paul, look, you think it was a penalty? And who am I to tell you otherwise?
I can hear now.
Of course you can. That's what I said. Don't you go.
I can't believe he's a defending it. Honestly,
John Paul, I knew this
defending
would happen.
I don't believe he's defending it. John Paul,
can I just ask you something?
John Paul, we all said it was a penalty.
Everybody said it was a penalty.
Which part of 18 carat, 100% stonewall penalty is a form of defence, John Paul?
Of the ball and his hand is here in.
John Paul.
I said it was a penalty, John Paul.
I said it's a penalty for the third time.
But you're trying to defend. Why was it not given?
John Paul, I have to ask you again, which part of 18 carat 100% stonewall penalty is a defence?
You're talking to Cammy. Why is it not given?
Cammy said he thought it was a penalty.
I thought it was a penalty, John. I gave the reasons that potentially why the referee might have not given it. He's the only one that can answer your question of why it's not given. So same with the VAR, why they've not called them over to the screen to have a second look at it. Potentially I can see why the referees maybe not give it on the pitch because of the proximity. But then again, when VAR are allowed to intervene, I'm pretty sure they should have pulled him over so he had a second look at it. But listen, John Paul, I'm saying, for me, if that's against your team, then you're absolutely wanting a penalty for
John
that.
John Paul, let's cut to the chase. You're suggesting that this is a conspiracy, that the penalty was deliberately not given because it was Rangers.
Winston said yesterday, VAR has been in place for 3.5 years now and they still can't get basic decisions correct.
I know, exactly. Like the one that the penalty that Celtic got at Kilmarnock earlier in the season, you know, never a penalty.
Terrible
but,
decision.
You're talking about VAR. VAR gave Celtic a penalty at Rugby Park that was never a penalty.
I think his point is you're still going to get decisions that go over and for against all teams. I think that's ultimately what you want.
We are all well versed in the conspiracy theories. If Celtic don't get a penalty, then the world's against Celtic. If Rangers get a penalty, then the world's for
but
Rangers.
This is my, and I said it before, John Paul, that I think VAR has been poor this season. I really do. I think the decisions that have been getting made, and did it surprise me that wasn't given? No, because I think decisions have been really poor this season. I said that a few weeks ago. Me and you had a discussion on air.
They're also trying to, and especially off the back of the Kilmarnock one, trying to kind of raise that bar for handballs, weren't they? Trying not to make it that every handball.
Yeah, but you can raise the bar, but also a handball's, if it's, for me, I mentioned there, it's going towards goal. I feel as if it's far enough away from the body there that is a penalty kick.
I know you all say, and this again, so Paradise is tweeting saying, Gordon Duncan trying to justify the Livy penalty, what a clown. John Paul asked, why is it not given? I then say, why it's not given. Mm-hmm. At literally no point do I say, that's the right decision.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're going to ask why it's not given, be prepared for the answer as to why it's not given.
I think also we just summarise this whole situation by saying when Celtic and Rangers don't get penalties, then the game's corrupt. And when penalties are not given against Celtic or Rangers, the game's corrupt. So the game's corrupt.
Brilliant. We're back. You forget that international.
Love it.
Flower of Scotland seems like a long time ago. Mm. What are you thinking tonight, John Paul? St Mirren's always a kind of tricky place to go, is that fair?
It will be tough. I just hope the 90 minutes go ahead and there's no nonsense with tennis balls and ping pong balls and all that nonsense. Just let us play the 90 minutes and see how it goes.
Do you think that changes? Do you think you'll get your wish, John Paul, or do you think yesterday's kind of ramped things up a bit?
I honestly don't know, mate. I don't know. I just hope we play the 90 minutes, win the game, and any nonsense, if you're going to do what you're going to do it before it or after it, just let the game play out. There's no point in throwing any, you know what I mean, tennis balls and all that nonsense during it. It's not going to do anybody any good.
You know, Ross Desmond was guilty of intemperate language yesterday, but fundamentally he had a point about people who are locked into this stuff when it comes to Celtic. They've been a wildly successful club. 13 of the last 14 titles, and Europe has been a shambles, admittedly. But there is an element of the support that is locked into all of this stuff. And Ross Desmond brought it up, but he brought it up in a naive, over-the-top way.
Thank you very much to John Paul. Plenty of time to talk today's football, tonight's football, tomorrow, last week, whatever. You decide, anything that's on your mind, share it now, and we'll speak to you next.
It's Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line, 0141 951 1025.
Get your calls in, let us know what you're thinking, either about today's action, the action still to come tonight. You've got the AGM, you've got Scotland, so much doing the rounds. Let's bring in Mark as a Celtic fan. How are you feeling about tonight, Mark?
Hi, good evening, gents. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you. Good.
A wee bit of nerves, probably, about the night. You know, normally I'd be looking forward to the game, but the bin fire that is Celtic in the background at the moment is kind of blanking out everything else. You know, Scotland had a great result during the week. Everybody's on a high. Come back to the AGM yesterday, which was an absolute nightmare for both sides. Now, I know that you and everybody else has had a pop at the board and a pop at the fans is probably right in both senses here. I just feel a bit disappointed with the AGM, if I'm totally honest.
Can I explain why I feel the way I do, Mark? I feel that the AGM at a major football institution like Celtic, why do people turn up with red cards and walk out in the middle of videos and walk back in again and create a mess? I have admitted that Ross Desmond's condemnation of the Celtic supporters was naive. The first time he spoke at an AGM, he went over the top. His language wasn't the best. But as I said to the John Paul, the first caller, Celtic are locked into this nonsense.
Do you understand? At least understand all the view of people, even because, again, I'll be completely honest, it's not something I could ever see myself doing, right? A red card at an AGM or walking out. So it's not that I'm 100% on board with that, but surely we've all got to be open-minded and understand the opinion of fans who think that maybe they've reached the stage of, if you just sit quietly at the AGM and you get told the same things and nothing really changes, maybe they felt that some sort of statement had to be made. Now, of course, there are lines, I totally respect that, but that's clearly where it's come from, isn't it?
But they don't have to sit quietly. There can be a robust exchange of views. You can get your point across in the most forceful way possible. But they turned up with the deliberate intention of showing red cards and booing and shouting sack the board. Forgive me for being an old conservative with a small C. It's the AGM, company law, a major football institution, and it was turned into a rabble.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I did see someone making that point of, you know, imagine you had a share in a big, massive, I don't know, bank or something. You wouldn't turn up at the AGM. But again, I think that's kind of missing the point, because that's where football is entirely unique. It's kind of why we love it. Yeah, it might be a business, but it's also not really. You know, it's people's lives. So I'd be a bit cautious of kind of comparing it to AGMs of other industries.
I've got to agree wholeheartedly with you. I think that both sides probably got it wrong. And I feel for the ones that generally turn up there that, you know, they've travelled long distances, we've heard that, and they've turned up there to ask genuine questions about the club they love. And unfortunately, have been denied that opportunity. I totally understand the section of Celtic fans who, you know, that's club, they love the club, they like to see the club doing very well, they're frustrated with the board. And I can understand the board, and I totally agree with you. I think that both sides yesterday got it wrong.
I totally agree. I think what Celtic fans, and you mentioned there, people have travelled a long way and went up for the opportunity to probably ask difficult questions of the top table that they would have to answer and come up with some sort of answer. So they were denied of that opportunity. I totally understand the frustrations. And again, the statement that got said, yes, that fueled the fire, and I think that was completely wrong. So I feel as if it was a missed opportunity for some Celtic fans to get their word out there, their questions to get answered at a big occasion, and yeah, it's went wrong for both
parties. In many ways, Mark, what you think is more important? What, as a Celtic fan, you said you were disappointed, I think was the word. What disappointed you?
First of all, I was disappointed with the shareholders and the fact that maybe they never got a chance to put their questions across, but for the mess that Celtic are in internally at the moment, I know they're financially strong and they've had, you know, domestic success for years, and I get that, but for the club to be run so poorly this season with the state of the stadium, state of the players, state of the qualities coming in and the quality going out, the money that's been taken in, I thought it was a real sucker punch for the fans not to get their point across. However, what I will say is, I'm a wee bit with you, Gordon. I don't blame the fans for having a slight pop at the board, but I've got a funny feeling the board were right to call a halt to it and then bring them back in. However, they knew that this was going to happen. They cut this short because they knew that they have made massive mistakes, and they have. You really go from being dominant last season, fighting in Champions League, to the mess that we've been in this season. You know, the manager leaving, which was a big part of it as well, he's got to take a lot of blame as well. But you don't get to that state, then come out to the AGM, the one AGM you get a year, and not to be able to take a wee bit of criticism and then field questions. They didn't do that. Peter Lawwell did exactly what it says in the tin, exactly what he was going to do. He called a halt to the Stoke thing. The Dermot Desmond's boy thing, he's got a statement to make, that's fine. But what Peter Lawwell did, the way he spoke to the shareholders there, telling them to be quiet, telling them, like a school teacher. Now, he's paid by Celtic and paid handsomely, and he's taken a lot of money out of Celtic. Now, I get he's done a great job, but these guys have got shares. These guys have driven 3 or 4 hours. These guys are paying their money in to Celtic to watch them every week, week in, week out, and then they didn't get a chance to put valid points across. Now, I think that's poor from both sides. I think they let them, the board let the club down, and a section of the fans let the club down as well. Now, where we are now is, it's never going to change. They're never going to move. The fans weren't Dermot Desmond out. He's never going to leave. He's in a position of power. They're sitting with so many hundreds of million, whatever, 80 odd million pound profit in the bank. They're not going to leave a successful business. So we're stuck in stalemate, and something has to be done. Olive branches need to be sent out here. But I just think, for a football club as big as Celtic, just like you said, to conduct its business in such a callous way from some sets of the fans, and especially for boards with senior positions, I thought it's a really upsetting, like, you know, in my opinion.
Yeah, a nice balanced approach, I think, from Mark and Cumbernauld. Thank you very much for giving us your time tonight, Mark. Let's go to East Kilbride, where Ross is on the line. Hi, Ross.
Hi, Gordon. Panel. Hello. First time caller.
Right, what made you call? Come on. I'm always intrigued by what tips you over the edge.
Oh, it's just the performance today. It wasn't a great performance, but at the end of the day, it's 3 points. We need to move on. But it just shows that when we do get injuries, the team that he's got isn't in reserve, isn't good enough. So obviously, they've got to make changes in January. There's a lot of players there that really shouldn't be there.
Is that defensively in particular, would that be fair?
Sorry?
Defensively or all over?
Oh, defensively, I thought we were a bit all over the place the day when they were sort of playing the long ball up to us. They were getting caught out. But
that would be the worry, wouldn't it, Cammy? Because we said that earlier, Danny Rule identified that. How could you not? Everybody could see it was a problem earlier in the season. He said that was part of the reason they went to a back three. They've now come away from that. Again, there was valid reasons for coming away from it as well, but today probably not a vintage defensive performance.
No. Again, I mentioned it before. There wasn't enough control in the game for me for Rangers. They have been building that over the previous weeks, where they've been getting results and they've been controlling games better. Today, it just felt like that it was going end to end. There was
Livid high quality chances,
yeah,
didn't they?
Absolutely. There are too many good quality chances for my likings at Ibrox. And that, again, looks at the defensive partnership. The goal they lost is a direct ball over the top. One striker going through, two defenders defending, lack of communication, positional sense. You can mention it all. It all went wrong, and it was a good finish from a Livingston player. But again, there's real... I totally agree with Ross that when you look at that squad, it's light in quality. And I think there's got to be big changes in January.
I agree.
Just made big changes though.
I know, but it's a different manager.
Yeah, and they brought in not enough quality, as Cammy quite rightly says, a couple of injuries. Now, I've said for the start of the season, the one thing Rangers will give you is chances, and they'll lose goals. And I didn't have a lot of confidence in the two centre-halves today. And to lose a goal with just one ball over the back, and then all of a sudden Butland has to save them when they're through 1-1 as well. It's a situation that needs addressed, and I totally agree. I know they've made a big investment, 13-plus players in the summer. They will need to get rid of some of the dead wood, because there are quite a few in there at this moment in time, and freshen up. And I would certainly start in the centre half.
And here we come to the Rangers' internal warfare. Kevin Thelwell and his son, Robbie, they will mastermind the January transfer window, and they have got to get it right, because the Rangers fans are looking at them. It's a lacklustre squad that they have. You know, if you're looking in terms of winning the league title, as things stand, they're only 2 points behind Celtic. But they're a lacklustre lot. Even Nico Raskin, and you touched on it yourself today, Gordon, that you know, the fans were getting on his back for too many backward passes and so on and so forth. That squad needs a real look at.
See, at the same time, Ross, where Rangers have been, a truly dreadful start to the season, managerial change. Is it still early enough for the new head coach, where you just kind of, you take 4 wins in the league in a row, you just take that and you move on, and you just hope you add the performance levels later?
Aye, at the end of the day, you've got to look at it as it's 3 points and you move on to the next game. Obviously, the start of the season with Russell Martin, that was just a complete nightmare. I mean, he should never have been anywhere near the Rangers manager's job. I think everybody knew that. I think the board knew that after they appointed him, but they just wanted to see how it would pan out. They should have sacked him for me after the Bruce game, and it maybe have been different. But you've got to get behind Danny Roll. 4 games in the bounce, we'll take it. We'll say 3 points and move on. But we need to get a bit tighter in all positions. And I say the front as well, Miowski. He was on fire with Aberdeen. Absolutely nowhere near the player he was there.
But they play a different style to him. But
he still just individually looks different, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's off it just now. Of course he is. But for me, what I liked was when Dan Rule came in, the first thing he said in his presser was, listen, it's not about style, it's not about anything, it's about winning games, right? Now, they've not won pretty today. They've gave up a few chances. But the manager's true to his word. It's about winning games. All of a sudden, they're up there in the league and giving themselves an opportunity. I don't think they're good enough to go and win the league with the squad they've got, i.e. why I think there'll have to be changes in the summer. In the January window.
Because today, again, Cammy, Big Marvin wouldn't be happy with us, but a home game against Livy, you're maybe hoping it is a day to get a striker who needs a goal, yep, or see some sort of like fluid attacking play. Come the end up, you don't really care. It doesn't matter who gets the goals, right? Fernandez is a towering header. Diamandé scores later on. But it's another game that's gone where is Danilo up front himself going to be the answer? Miowski couldn't come on and make an impact. And, of course, Chermiti's injured at the moment.
Yeah, I think what it does is it raises questions from these guys if they're not scoring these types of games. But, again, you can put it down. I wouldn't say it's individually them. It was a poor performance today. But what the main thing was, they got 3 points on the board. When you're not playing well as Rangers, you still need to win the game, and that's the demands, and they've managed to do that today. I think Daz is right that Danny Rowe came in, he says it's all about winning. Russell Martin came in and said the exact same thing, but he couldn't stand up and do that. So I think there's a difference between the two managers. He'll accept today wasn't good enough, and he probably knows internally that he needs to add to the squad in January, but today was all about the 3 points.
Okay, thank you very much to Ross on the line in East Kilbride. That was a good first call, Ross. Hopefully we'll do it again sometime. What about William, who's on the other line? Hi, William. Can you hear us, William? Sounds like he's there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think he's stuck his phone in his pocket.
William,
yeah. I'll deal with him later. William, are you with us? No, I don't know. I don't know where he's gone, for goodness sake. That could have been the blockbuster. Could have been the best call of all time. Could have been the
William's
best point you've ever heard.
We might have missed out.
And we'll never know. I think producer's trying to speak to him just now to see if he is there. I like the notion that he's maybe just like put us on hold and thought, I'm just...
did he bottle crash?
I don't know. Listen, we'll give him the chance. We'll get back in touch perhaps, and we'll take more calls next anyway.
After the they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Into the final part, but plenty of time to get your calls in, whether it's AGM, whether it's Rangers at Ibrox today, Celtic and Paisley later, whatever it is, we're here for you. Richard is a Motherwell fan, and I honestly don't know what's going on here. Remember we tried to speak to William before the break? It just turns out it was just Richard, but we got his name wrong. So no wonder he didn't answer. I don't know what operation we're running here, Richard, but take it away.
No, listen, I would first of all just like to say it's a great result away to Kilmarnock today on a really poor pitch. But I would just like to highlight how the breath of fresh air that we brought to Scottish football this season, the way we're playing, continually try to play it for the back. We need to learn to hold on to a lead, but as a Motherwell fan, it's been an absolute joy to watch us. And I'd just like to ask Dazzler and obviously yourself, Gordon, what you guys have thought watching us this season and what you think it could take us to.
Yeah, I don't think you're alone, Richard. Obviously, I live in Motherwell, and you know, the amount of Motherwell fans that talk about the style they play from. The way that, you know, especially at home as well, and they go away today to, as you say, not the greatest pitch in the world, but doesn't make any difference. They stick to their game plan, they stick to the way they play football. And you're right, it is a joy. It's an absolute joy to watch. It's been a long time coming. And what happens is people that are now going to the games, especially the home games, are come back with a smile on their face because they're enjoying what they're seeing.
Yeah, I've loved it. But I think I understood a little tiny bit of the criticism where you say, well, if it doesn't translate into results, mm-hmm. you can't get too carried away. But you're on a decent enough run now. It's funny, the league table's so bunched. They're only sixth. I actually expected them to be higher up. But they've got a game in hand. You know, they're 3 points behind Hibs, who're in third, and they've got a game in hand. So the table's a little bit bunched. And
they've only lost two games, though.
Yeah. Exactly.
Which is so important. Again, I think with the style that they're playing, yes, it takes some time, and I've been there myself with Kilmarnock years ago trying to play out from the back. I think Motherwell are going to get better and better mm-hmm. as the season goes on. They're starting to understand the role of everything, and it's brilliant to watch. When you watch Motherwell, you're excited. It's exciting football. So as a Motherwell fan, Richard will obviously be delighted watching it week in, week out, but they're not getting beat as well. So that's so important.
But it's one of these situations, Cameron. I know that you don't want to hear us as a fan, but sometimes if you lose a game, which you can, you start sometimes look and think, I really enjoyed that because of the way that we're trying to play.
Yep.
You know, instead of coming down the road and thinking, that's the worst game of football I've ever seen in my life, Motherwell are entertaining the fans.
Yep. That's kind of, I think it depends what your expectations are. I'm not saying, oh, this means they'll finish third, but I figure if you're going to finish somewhere mid-table anyway, you may as well do it.
And style,
you know, you've tried. It's not like if Motherwell then switch to playing a long ball, they're guaranteed to finish higher. So I think you can. I think
the profile of the club has risen so much because of the brand of football they're playing. I've never heard anyone speak about, no disrespect to Motherwell, but everyone's talking about Motherwell and Scottish football.
Unless you're absolutely flying, you know, if you can find a different style, that means you're third or you're fourth, and you're, you know, like St Mirren. Play a very different way, but they're really good at it, and you know, and they've got top six and all that stuff. Yeah.
Go back to what, 6-7 weeks ago or something. We were sitting in here, and it was a scenario of Livingston had won, and they were bottom.
Yep.
And people are saying, "Oh, do they change their style because they're not winning games? They're drawing too many games. They could be bottom of the league." But the manager sticks to his principles.
Hugh, you go.
When Michael Vimmer left. Very unfortunate. He's hardly in the door and he's back out it again. And you wonder, but Jens Bertolascu has come in, and I would argue that you've got lucky, because I'm not sure that Michael Vimmer could have given you the style of football that's got Richard excited and the rest of North Lanarkshire.
Richard, what about Mass when he said, you feel like he's gone under the radar a bit? He's now the joint top scorer in the entire Scottish Premiership.
Oh, he's electric. He offers you something that is rare to see at Fir Park. But just going back to what you said about Michael Wimmer, but see if you go back to the recruitment process that Mother went through to get Jens. I think it's very, actually, but then it's wrong to say that it was lucky, because if you actually listen to a couple of podcasts, and the reason that they hired the manager that they've hired, it was because of his style of play and his shot.
managerial career, it was because of his attacking style of play. So the reason they hired Jens is, far from lucky, it was because of a very, very astute process.
And I think what Hugh means though is like, who's like, he's probably even better than Michael Vimmer, yeah. which was the initial aim, wasn't it? Was obviously for him, but yeah, the process was similar, and obviously he tried to. In fact, someone like Lucas Fiedinger was recruited for Michael Vimmer, and he left before he got there. But yeah, it was a good win today. Killy fans, on the other hand, would like to hear from you. Thank you to Richard in Motherwell. Please get your calls into us. What about Danny Rule? He's spoken after that victory for Rangers, 2-1 at home to Livy.
I wasn't here a couple of weeks ago, but maybe a couple of weeks ago we wouldn't win this game. At the moment we win these games, of course we can ask about how, but at the moment when I arrived here I said it's important to win games. We do this at the moment. Still space for improvements, this is a good part. Even now, today, new two centre backs together. This is also something what you have to develop. They need game minutes. Nedim got today first appearance since I'm arrived. And these are the small steps we have to grow in together as a group. I know it was not the high quality game from our side, but 3 points, and this is most important.
Not high quality, but 3 points, and that's the most important. What did you make of it, Justin, on the line?
Hi guys, how you doing?
Good.
I'm getting more and more and more frustrated watching Rangers, and I think a lot of Rangers fans today would have been, but the biggest thing that was frustrating me, you mentioned it earlier on, at the defensive aspect. I think even if Suter's playing today, I'm really struggling with why we're playing Deja continually. Now, I know we're kind of light and defensive today, but I would have been Salah and Fernandes playing today, because I think Deja is the biggest cause of Rangers' defensive problems most of this season. He causes indecision for a centre-half, the height and power and strength that that guy should have and the apparent Premier League experience. I've yet to see him win a header or even challenge for a header at points. It's just Calamity Jane stuff, and he causes massive indecision in the defence constantly. It was just to see what the panel think. I personally hope he's going back in January, and I'd like to see in Salah given more of a chance. I know he's only 19, I know he's made mistakes, but I would rather see our players that we own getting better and getting experience rather than giving players that really aren't up to the standard that we need on loan getting minutes and getting time.
I don't detect much of you, Justin, who's just happy to get the 3 points though.
Of course we're happy to get 3 points, but unfortunately, games like that, historically, we haven't got 3 points. And you'd be naive to think, all right, we've got 3 points, let's move on. Because what happens the next time we're in that situation, we might not be as lucky. We might not get away with some of the rubs of the green that we got today. We've got to be better. We shouldn't be struggling to beat, Rangers shouldn't be struggling to beat Livingston at home 2-1 and scraping it. That's no good enough for Rangers. And for me, as I say, the goal, if you watch the goal, the two of them go, and Deja is supposed to be on him. He lets the ball go right over his head and doesn't even chase or attempt to make a clearance. It causes massive indecision for me. And for me, as I say, I would like to see in Salah getting more of a chance. I think he's quick. I think he plays the ball forward as opposed to constantly across the back. And I'd just like to see them getting a chance.
As I say, it's a lacklustre squad for me, and many things have to happen in January. Players in, players out. But I think Danny Rule was entitled to make the observation that a few weeks ago, Rangers might not have won that match because they went to Livingston and they needed a 94th minute goal from Max Ahrens to win the game 2-1. But yeah, the squad's lacklustre, and in defence, it definitely needs tightening up. And that's why January is fascinating, primarily because the Rangers fans don't want Kevin Thelwell and his son to be dealing with it.
Giga, Justin says he hopes he goes back in January. I don't think there's anything to suggest that will happen. It was a season-long loan. I don't know the finer detail. I don't even know if it's an option. I don't know if it's one Rangers would take, especially now. So Suter and Cornelius injured. And Ciala, maybe you do start to see more of him. Is it a concerning area for Rangers, or are you listening to Danny Rowley? He sounds more forgiving because he says it's the first time those two have played together and he focuses on winning the 3 points.
Yeah, listen, I think you do need to cut them a little bit of slack with regards to it is an early partnership for them. They've not played a lot of football, but again, it certainly is a concern. Because I think Justin's right there. They need to, yes, it's important that they got the 3 points today, but they can't allow that to happen. They've got to be in much more control of games against the likes of Livingston at Ibrox. They can't allow this little bit of, if you want to say, luck go their way and things just pay off them and they get over the line. That won't happen very often, so they need to get in more control. I think the centre-back area is a huge concern for me. It needs to be addressed in January.
I totally agree. Giga, for me, has been very, very poor indeed. And I know you're talking about, well, it's the first time they've played together, right? But he's played with Suter on a right few occasions and still looks a bad defender for me. So I totally understand where Justin's coming from.
Let's close with a quick look ahead, because we've got it's very rare that we leave on a Saturday night and we don't even have team news for a game that's coming up, because it's an 8 o'clock shot in Paisley. Incredible on a Saturday night. St Mirren are on a bad league run, no wins in the last four, but they're actually not playing badly. And Stephen Robinson's pointing to decisions that have gone against them and fine margins. So, still think they'll be a stern test for Celtic.
Without question. And Stephen Robinson will know that off-field problems for Celtic can impact on-field. Celtic, to cut them a little bit of slack, have horrendous injury problems. And it's a real awkward situation for Martin O'Neill. And I think Martin O'Neill was shocked by what took place yesterday as well. And he, I think, is thinking, I'm getting out of here quickly. But still no confirmation of a new Celtic manager. On and off the field tonight, a fraught time for Celtic.
Sorry, it was no wins in five league games for St Mirren, but they did have the cup semi-final victory in amongst that. The other thing, Gordon, is, as Hugh alluded to, the personnel issues haven't gone away. Nobody's back. Nobody's even close to back. And in fact, the news has got worse. Newspapers running with a story last night that Carter Vickers is out for the season. Now, that feels like the one that's not quite hit yet, because Trusty's done quite well and Scales would be in there anyway. But at fullback, there are issues. There's no Alistair Johnson for the foreseeable. No Marcelo Cerracci. Kieran Tierney is a national hero for sure. But does that mean he then goes straight back into the Celtic team and plays every minute of every game, midweek, weekend? They probably didn't recruit a right winger. So none of that's changed despite some good domestic results recently.
No, personnel, obviously, they've got their problems. They've not got the strength of squad that they would have liked, of course, and the quality that they liked. I totally agree with you. I think tonight will be a difficult game, but you're looking at St Mirren's form, it doesn't fill you with confidence. I think that because of the way Martin O'Neill is and how he can get players to go out there and perform, I think they will have enough tonight. I think it'll be a stuffy game, but I think they'll have enough.
Yeah, I think it will be. I'm in agreement with Daz that it'll be a stuffy game. You see that St Mirren don't score a lot of goals. They've certainly not this season, so I think Celtic will just get over the line, but they've got huge concerns going forward because their squad is light with a number of injuries and injuries to key players as well. I think that's what you've got to say is, but I think they'll have enough tonight.
You don't. You've got that glint in your eye, but does that glint extend to a St Mirren victory, or are you just thinking a draw?
I don't think Celtic will win the match. I'll go
so
with
hedge
that
a bet. You'll go draw or St Mirren win. I don't mind that. I'll let you away with that. It's been a positive week, so let's do it. Thank you to Hugh Keevans, Cammy Bell and Gordon Dale. Thank you for all your calls and for keeping us company on a Saturday afternoon. There were big wins for Rangers, maybe not sparkling, but an important win, an impressive win, really impressive for Falkirk at Dundee United. Good win for Motherwell down at Kilmarnock and Hibs as well. And we're not forgetting the Championship, because Partick Thistle have beaten the league leader St Johnstone, meaning 3 points behind with a game in hand. Still plenty to come throughout the weekend. You've got that St Mirren Celtic game tonight and all that goes around it. A big one between the league leaders and Aberdeen tomorrow. And of course the guys are here, Andrew McLean, looking after you on a Sunday afternoon. So loads happening, and enjoy the GBX, which is up next.